Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to experience Jesus, who he is, who God is? Be pure in heart. A lot of times we misunderstand this fact. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't look on his appearance for the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. Man looks on the what? The outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. This is where sometimes people have used verses to say, see, it doesn't matter how I appear on the outside, and I would agree with you. I would just say this, what is on the outside of us ought to flow from what is on the inside of us, all right? So that's where you want to come from, because ultimately what not ought to scare us is how man looks at us. What ought to scare us is the fact that God can see our heart. God can see our motives. God can see who we really are. God knows the meaning behind, you know, we live in a world today where you can just post and make yourself look as bright and as awesome and as beautiful as you want to. But really, it's not just your friends that sit back and roll their eyes. It's God that knows our heart behind the matter. It's God that knows who we really are. It's God that knows who that parent is that gives you parenting advice who is never home with their children, right? It's God who knows who we are as people. And God is looking at the heart. That's what he can see all things. So whenever we want to minister to people, we have to look at the heart, not just their action, okay? The action is what? It's the reflection of what is on the inside of us. Giving an example. If Mark walks up to me after church and just out of nowhere goes, he cusses me out. He says, blank you. I can look at Mark and go, Mark, in this building, you never say that to me again. And he never does say that to me again. But wouldn't it be a good thing if I found out, why did he tell me that? Is there a reason why? Is there something that I said? Has there something been building? Did he just feel like it out of nowhere? Did something happen, right? So here's what happens a lot of times with people. We just focus on that outward thing. One of the schools I went to, literally had so many rules, it was just unbelievable. They told us how to comb our hair. That had to part in it, had to go over. They told us how to wear our shoes, how to shine our shoes, how to wear certain clothes. They told us what to wear for every activity, how to go about it. They told us to carry our Bibles. They told us to carry the right kind of Bibles. They basically told us what brand to get. They told us how we were supposed to act in church. They told us that we had to say amen. They told us all of these things that we had to do, that literally, here's the problem. There's a lot of people that did not understand that this, you're only coming at people on an outward appearance. And if you teach me how to paint up a sepulcher, I can learn how to be dead on the inside and on the outside make it look like I am someone that is the truest and finest, most attractive follower of Jesus. They would take us to places and drop us off and say, go preach the gospel, and come back with these things called convert cards. And they would be names of people that we led to Jesus. And sometimes we would even baptize people on the spot. And anyways, it's a whole nother thing, but we would go through, we would do that. But did you know that there was times where people would come back with a convert card with a name written on there of someone that did not receive Jesus? Nate, how did you know that? Don't ask me how I know that. I just know that people did that, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Here's why that happened. Because I would rather lie and be told I'm a good Christian and doing a good job than be honest and say I shared it, nobody received it, and get yelled at because I wasn't right with God. Because if I was right with God, I'd be spirit-filled and people would receive Jesus. Okay. It happened a lot. Unfortunately, it still goes on in a lot of circles. The point is that what we want for our church? Do I want people to fake something to make me think that they're a better person? That's one of the reasons why I love the way we have our getting now, giving. It's online and it's in a box. I love it. Why do you love that? Because it's not something that we flash and we share and show for people. It's something that's between the person and God. It's something that they can do on their own between them and God. And it's not something where people have to do to make themselves appear. You see, if I make you change something on the outside, friend, but on the inside you're doing something completely different, I have missed the mark. So when I say these things, I want us to understand that as we see things around us and people say, hey, let's change a policy, let's change a building, let's change a statue. Again, there's different scenarios where great discussions can be had, but if you don't figure out why, you're just going to make yourself feel better and get nowhere in the process. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. So how many of you have ever said something and been like, I just don't know why I said that. Maybe it's just me. I don't know where that came from. Really, you just made up a word on your own. You always wonder, you're always scared when your kids start to say what you say. Because you know your kid is going to say something and you can't go, you know what, I don't know where they heard that from. They just literally are so brilliant that they made up this word completely on their own. No, your first question is, where did you hear that? Because at some point you heard it in here, it implanted in here, and then it came out of here. All right? One of the reasons why as a church we want you to be ingrained in the Bible is not so that Nate can control you, but that the Holy Spirit can control you, so that you don't realize that the more we watch things on a TV screen, it comes into our eyes, comes, and all of a sudden now we're speaking a version of Jesus that somebody else we heard somewhere else, okay? That's why we have to get through, because what happens is that what comes out of here at one point came into it. At one point, we thought it was a good thing to do, and so out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak. Sometimes people will call me with questions, and they'll, earlier this week, Tina's here, she called, left me a voicemail and was like, hey, I'm just sitting here talking with one of the people in the church about hell. We got a question for you. Okay. So it's like, this is just, but I'm laughing because I was just, so I call back and I'm like, just having a nice casual conversation on hell, huh? This is just, you know, it's just a nice sunny day. What else is there to talk about? No, but what I'm joking to say this, they didn't just randomly start to talk about that. One of them had read something somewhere or seen something and had a question about something within the scripture, because it came in here. Now it's going to come out because it's what's inside of us is going to flow out. This is what I want us to do. I want us to understand that, yes, if someone is not reading their Bible, I want them to read their Bible, but I want to get to the heart of why they're not reading their Bible. I don't just want them to do it so that they can make somebody happy. All right? You can fool a lot of people. Now, so that's what we want to do, because wherever our mind goes is where our heart is going to flow out of them. So we want to minister to the why. A pure heart is a heart given to God. Jesus said this when he was talking to Nicodemus. He said, unless someone is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, none of us in here, to my knowledge, is able to share our firstborn experience. Probably a good thing. All right, my mom is in here. All she can probably say is, you were a fat kid. You caused me a lot of pain. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember much of anything. My earliest memories revolve around going to Kmart to get a toy. All right, that's my earliest memories that I have. But earlier than that, no one can really describe that story. They weren't necessarily, you were there, but it's something that you don't remember. Here's one thing, though, that you can always share, your reborn story. The day when God changed your heart. The day when everything in your life changed because of what Jesus did for you. If you do not have a conversion story, you do not have a conversion. It's plain and simple. You are here because you were born. You will be in the kingdom of God because you were born again. If you don't have a story of the moment when Jesus Christ made a difference and a change in your life, you don't have a conversion. God has children, no grandchildren. You may not know the exact day and the hour, okay? You may not know that. Some people, thank God, they know exactly where they were at, the day they were at, they were able to document. For other people, they may know a time frame, but they may not know exactly where they were, okay? But you have a moment where God changed everything. Now, here's where we come to. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, from it flow the springs of life. I learned it where, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me give you another one that'll help you out, okay? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So when you got saved, Jesus changed your heart, all right? When you got saved, that's salvation. Then there's a thing called sanctification. You say, what in the world? You trying to do a play on words? No, trust me, I'm not that smart. But sanctification is this. It's salvation is when God changes you. Sanctification is something that you and I have to work on. It's something that we personally do as we experience, as we draw closer to Jesus. These are some of the things that you and I are responsible for. All right? So let me ask you a question sincerely. What are you and I doing to guard our hearts above all else? Guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Friend, this world is not as pure and moral as we make it out to be. It's not. We have convinced ourselves, again, a lot of things that I would not disagree with personally, but I'm sharing the Bible. We have convinced ourselves that if we tear down monuments of the past, we're doing it because we're morally right and pure. And in so doing that, we have conquered all of our past woes. Can I tell you something? We are not as morally pure as what we make ourselves out to be. We're not. In a few months, over half of our nation, some will do it with great lament because they will feel like there is no other option. And to that, there's true conversations, and I can respect. But some, for the sake of freedom, are going to, in their eyes, freedom, are going to joyfully vote for a cause that says that you can abort a baby up until the second it's born. There's no type of restriction. All open, all the time, all good. If I shared with you on a screen what that would involve, we would all leave this place sick and disgusted. If you Googled what that involved, yet we're morally pure. My hope and prayer would be that years from now, my kids would tear down monuments of buildings that we funded with our own tax dollars. That would be the right thing to do. And if that's what we do now, I'm for it. We're not as morally pure as what we make ourselves out to be, and it's because of this. We're not guarding our hearts. Because we're not guarding our hearts, we fall for some very damaging things. Now this I say to you and testify, Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Take no part in the unfruitful works, Ephesians 5:11, of darkness, but instead expose them. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. All right? Now, there are many different times in the Bible where it talks about somebody hardened their heart and because of that, God turned them over. Friend, if you do not guard your heart and keep becoming more callous and callous and callous, you will get to a point where you will justify horrible things. I have seen pastors that I used to respect justify racism this past week. How? because they have seared their conscience and believed a lie. I've seen it. I've seen people that I used to respect literally justify racism because in their eyes, they believed a version of Jesus. And I believe with all of my heart, they have believed it to a point where their conscience is literally seared and God just literally turns them over. You say, man, that is sick. You're right. That's why we want to expose it. That's why we want to expose it. There are some people that literally try to act like it's some myth that's out there. And you just shake your head and go, are you serious right now? I didn't even share this story in the first service, but the first time I ever truly experienced racism, you don't forget it. I remember, and I'm going to mention this to John later, but when I was a young kid, John and his son was in town, and we were wanting to go out and do something. I think I was like 12 or 13, and John's son was driving, and they wanted to go to the Polish festival downtown. Remember when they used to have that? Do they still have it? Probably not now with COVID. It shut everything down. But and I remember, and I didn't even really want to go because they were like, yeah, food. I'm as picky as can be, right? And they're like, we want to go. And I'll never forget, as we were leaving the festival, I'll never forget this. Some smart aleck guy, as we're walking out, it's the three of us, really snarky with a lot of people around, goes, I thought we were going to the Polish festival, because he's walking in as we're walking out. And I was young. If someone said something like that now, I think my reaction would be different. I know it would. But at that time, I was young. I didn't even know what he was saying. So we got in the car, and I said, hey, what was that guy's, like, did he not know where he was? Literally, I said, did he not know where he was going? I'm like, why did he say it? Because the way he said it, you could tell he was trying to get a reaction. And I'll never forget, John probably would forget this because he probably experienced this many times. John and his son looked back at me and they're like, it's because we're black. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, it's because we're black. Oh, young, stupid, doesn't catch that stuff. Now you catch it, you see, you have to say, that's sick, that's wrong. So why would people that claim to follow Jesus support people who would say and do those things and those actions? I don't understand it. Here's what I do know. In our lives, if we keep turning off our ears to the truth and we do not guard our hearts, we open ourselves up to follow a conscience. Can I ask you this question sincerely? Why would you let a conscience that can be seared be your guide? Why would you do that? Why would you let something? Why would you not want to be someone that's guarded with a pure heart of the Word of God, controlled by the Holy Spirit? Why would you want a conscience to be your guide? Again, I share some of these stories today not to elevate ourselves, but to say this. We live in a world that isn't as pure as we want it to be, and we have to start approaching and attacking the actions that say, that stuff is sick. We are not going to stand for some of these things that have continued to grow in America. We're going to have tough conversations, but it's going to come from what? A heart that's guarded within Scripture. Not from a thought process that goes with the sensuality of the world. Why would we let a conscience that can be seared be our guide? Why do we not protect and guard our heart? I don't want to give you a list of do's and don'ts, but I do want to talk to you like you're an adult. And I want to ask you sincerely, is what you're watching and seeing, are you guarding your heart? There have been times at work where I'll get a show somebody will say, hey, have you ever watched? And I'll go to watch that show, and literally within 10 minutes, I have to turn it off. And I'm like, I should have done some research, because within 10 minutes, there is nudity, there is vulgarity, there is you name it. And I'm like, whoa. And somebody will ask later, did you see? I'm like, you know, it just wasn't for me. It's not how I am. And people will say, man, grow up. What you see and hear doesn't bother you? And then I laugh because I think 100 million people watched the Super Bowl last year. I think it was up to around, for a 30-second ad, it's over $5 million. It may be close to 10. Why is that? Because if I can get you to watch my ad, you're going to buy my product. So the same people that tell me in Hollywood that what I see and what comes into my eyes and ears won't affect me are the same people that are charging $100 million over $10 million for an ad. I want you to think for a minute. What we allow to come in, it does affect us. And again, you have to make sure that when you put yourself around people, that you are guarding and protecting yourself. Not every relationship in this life is worth having. Not every relationship is worth it. Did you know that not every church is worth going to? What? I'm sincerely, I saw some things last week that I will never walk into the doors of any of those places again. Never. Ever, 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 ever. If you're that sick and twisted, I'm good. Not worth having. Yeah, but you've been friends for years. Well, thank God that God got one of us out of it, because we do not need that type of stuff. I am going to guard my heart and protect my family. Guard yourself. Guard it. Couple things that go along with guarding yourself. Number one, are you accountable? Listen, don't be a hero. Whenever a pastor falls, if the church is small, nobody cares. Okay? So if Pastor Nate fell next week, I'm not going to make the Grand Rapids Press, if that's even still a thing, okay? If that's M-Live, right? That's what it is. If Pastor Nate falls next week, I'm not going to make M-Live with the size of our church. But if one of the pastors in town that has one of the larger churches falls, it's going to be all over the place. Every time a pastor falls, here's what you eventually find. If you go back, you'll find a story of, they'll always say this, they were accountable to no one. They did whatever they wanted. Nobody said anything. If somebody tried to say something, they just yelled and screamed, got them out of there, accountable to no one. Did you know that we have to have people in our lives that we are accountable to? If in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul would send money from church to church with groups of people, it'd probably be good if we had that accountability within our church. If you always refer to, in the New Testament, plurality of leadership, and this is something that I've come to learn more and more as I study, you always find that leadership in the Bible is always in a plurality. Why is that? Because no man is strong enough to lead something on his own without any type of accountability in their life. There's simple things that you can do, you don't have to do, but why are you the only person with a passcode to your phone? Trust me, nobody really wants to go through it, but there are some times when my phone will be laying out and my wife will just start looking through there, and she's probably bored and she wants to see what memes and jokes I've been sending, to see if any of them are about her, to see what I'm about to joke about online or whatever's going to be. She starts going through there. Can I tell you something? She's my wife. She can look through my phone whenever she wants. There's nothing in my phone that I'm trying to hide from that. I've got some church emails with some different things. I don't know if certain people are always have it, but they have access to the passwords. Why is that? Because it's okay if they go through my stuff sometimes. It's actually good. You say, what are you, a kid, dude? No, I don't want to be not accountable. I want to guard my heart. I want to guard the church. Our church has gone through a lot. Why would I not want to be accountable to the people in it and protect it? Why would I want to squander what we've gone through and what God is going to do in this place and how he is going to work in this place? Because I refuse to be accountable. And then as we're accountable, we're going to be responsible. You know what? You know all responsibility is? It's to take accountability for those who you lead. Someday, the Bible talks about that those who lead stand before God and give a double account. Give an account for themselves and then what? For the people that they ministered to. Did you know that there are people that come to church, and I don't say this to be funny, but it's going to come out that way, but they actually believe what's preached and they actually follow it. And literally, if I twisted the Bible to fit a racial bend, there would be some people that would take it and they would just have joy and they would just run with it. Because it would be their flesh. But what we have to understand is the irony of everything that we go through is this. Until we start to see each other as one, we will never make a difference in the world around us. But we have to be accountable and responsible to the people that we lead. When you are responsible for people, you're accountable to them, and you don't have a problem answering questions. As children grow up in this world, they're going to have a lot of questions for the people around them. I want my daughter to be around people that she can ask questions to and who I can trust to give her good answers. I want her to be around people who are different, who can help and share and grow her viewpoint in the world of how Jesus came to save it. I don't want her to fall victim to a mindset of my humanism is better than yours. And that's the world that we're living in. I don't want Jesus to be a poker chip that is played to get us out of trouble. I want him to be the God, Lord of our lives. I want us to be a place that prioritizes Scripture. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying the Word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, Matthew chapter number 4, what did he always answer with? The Word of God. Another question, what did Satan come to Jesus with? A twisting of the words. The first words Satan has were, yea, hath God said. I am very proud of our church, not just because of the number of people that have come back, which is part of it, but even with people that watch, and I know that even those who aren't able to come watch because they let me know, and that's huge. If you're not able to make it, this is a way and a means that I think the church has grown in learning. But I saw a pastor this week make a video. I could tell he was just broken. He said this. He said, we sent out over 900 questionnaires. 900 questionnaires. So you think about that. That's just to one family probably. That's not to individuals within that. He goes, 48% of you said you want to come back tomorrow. Like 25 to 30% said, we'll come back when the summertime is over. Kind of convenient. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but we had a family do that once in our church. They sent us an email that said, take us off of everything. We'll be back in the fall. I thought, dude, can we all do this? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, now with Facebook, we can. But it was like, because they were like, every week, we're going to be at the lake. We're going to be here. We're going to be doing there, you know? But people said that, and I say this not to be mean-spirited because I don't know everyone's motives, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that a lot of those people probably still hang out with the family. They still do different things. They're probably not staying at home all the time. I joked in the first service and said, if you've been to Walmart, you're immune from everything, or you're going to get everything, one of the two. But if you've been to Walmart, I don't want to hear about how you don't feel safe going anywhere else, because Walmart, good night. I get scared walking in the parking lot, you know? But you see these things, and then another percentage said that they would not be back for the foreseeable future. And then he said, and about 15% of you sent us so many questions and weird things back, we don't even know where you fall into what category. We're just going to guess you're not going to come back. We don't even know. Okay? Now, I want you to think for a moment about the dangers that can come from that type of mindset of not guarding and protecting yourself. Christianity isn't something that we just do on Sunday morning. Most churches don't know how to address what a true disciple is. So if you were to ask me, I would say, well, they come to church at least 3 out of 4 Sundays. They give some money, and they're nice when they're here. They don't give me dirty looks, okay? That would probably be what it, but can I tell you something? That is such a warped view of Christianity. Because I want you to think about this for a minute. A Pharisee would show up to every service. They would know the Bible. They would give more money than any one of us. They would know the right things to say and do. And when they died, they would go to hell. Because the outside is great, but the inside is not. I want us to be a church that prioritizes the scripture and guarding our hearts. I want that so much. Because if we're not careful, there are so many traps that you can fall into. And especially now more than ever, as we live in a world, here's what's crazy, they're crying out and they don't know why or what for. And it's for a creator that is over all things, that can answer every hurt and every pain and can help and heal and can move us forward properly. For us as a church, are we more desirous to make ourselves look good on the outside, or do we want to be pure of heart? Can I just stop with this? You know, God did not call you to be liked, he called you to lead. God didn't call you to be liked, he called you to lead. We live in a day and age where if you are trying to be liked, good luck. If I got on Facebook today on the way home and said, I'm such a good husband, my wife told me to pick up milk on the way home, and I remembered to do it, I would probably have people commenting and go, how could you be so insincere to people that are lactose intolerant and their wives are not able to tell them to bring milk home? That is the world that we live in, is it not? That is the world that we live in. So when you and I lead, and I'm preaching to myself because I fall for this sometimes. God didn't have us lead to be liked. He called us to lead. And if we lead and do the right things, the outward appearance will eventually take care of itself, but it's always on the inside that matters. Jesus was at a party, had a prostitute show up, break a bottle, perfume, hair, rinses it out, doesn't care. Jesus is at a place and people say, hey, why don't your disciples wash their hands? That's kind of a good question if you stop and think about it. But that's how you can tell they're probably close to being Baptist. They don't even care. They just dig into the food and go. That's a joke. They weren't Baptist, okay? But I want you to understand something, that as you stop and you see these things, I want you to... Jesus was never worried about the outside. He called a cussing fisherman to pastor the first church. He did not care how anything looked. He always cared about this. What is in here, it will come out. And some of you are so worried about constantly being liked by the world around you, you don't realize that the God who has called you loves you more than anything, and you're going to be okay, and it's okay to speak up, and it's okay to share, and your God has given you a voice. Your pastor is only saying this: if it comes out of a pure heart, use it for his honor, his glory. You can help people. You can help people. As a church, we want to learn, we want to grow from each other. It's got to come, though, from one area, a pure heart. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for today, God, I pray that you would work in this place, that you would guide our hearts, that you would protect them. God, I'm praying this, not that those in this room don't need it, but we're also praying for the younger crowd that's about to show up, that they would see the need to reach out, follow you, guard that which controls so much of our life. God, please help us to be a church that is just continued and committed to the world that is more needed now more than ever. Lord, I pray that you would help this church to stay committed to the word and those that are in here. Please guide, direct, work within us. Be with those who maybe are interested in coming to our church. Would you continue to work that they would see the need, that there's always room, that our doors are always open, and we're always here to help. We thank you in advance for those souls that you're going to save through this place that we have not yet met, that you are preparing ways for Solid Rock to be used mightily. We thank you for the visions that you've given us. Please, I ask that you guide and direct and work in mighty ways. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.